In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I wanted to talk to you about prayers that we hear all the time and how important they are, even though we hear them all the time. Even the daily prayers that we hear, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Also, the Heavenly King and all of those other prayers of the Chasagian. They're profoundly beautiful, and I think we gloss over them because of repetition. These prayers, if you come to vigil every single Saturday, you'll hear them once a week or any other vigil service that we serve if we serve more than one vigil in a week. Actually, you'll hear some of them twice in a week because one prayer, Save, O God, is said twice in the vigil, in the Letia service and then after the gospel. And the Letia service is that service where we have the five loaves and then we have the wheat and the wine and the oil. And we're remembering the blessing that Christ gave to the loaves and the fish and how it multiplied and fed 5,000 men besides women and children. And how the Lord can therefore provide for us as easily as that. And we remember that miracle when we do the Letia service. And then we say these prayers, these supplications. Some of these supplications I say every day, or I attempt to say every day, because they're just so profoundly, they're intimate. They're intimate and they're very vehement. And they're just saying things exactly the way they should be. What do we need from God? We need his mercy, don't we? We live in difficult times. We always have. It's always been difficult to be a Christian. It's been difficult to get rid of the old man that wants to hold on. It's difficult to see our loved ones suffering or all people around, all around us. Right now we're encountering where there's the fall of Afghanistan. And there are Christians there that are being taken out of their homes and summarily executed by beheading and or by torture and then beheading or perhaps by being shot or thrown into the earth and then covered up with dirt. This is happening right now, and it's always been happening all over the world, all the time. There's always suffering. There's always sickness. There's always people that are falling away. All this stuff is happening. It's always been happening from the beginning of time. And we as Christians should be aware of this. And these prayers very much are aware of this. They say very simple, forthright things, and I hope that you hear them and that they really make a difference to you. Now, we're saying the Letia service, it's not prescribed for every vigil service, unless you want to do it. There's a saying that the rector is the typikon, so it's not out of order for us to do the Letia service. It's just not normally done in parishes every single vigil service, but that's what we do. But Father Nicholas and I took counsel with one another, and we believe that we must pray more because times are difficult. I keep telling you that. It's really true, and you will see that I am a reliable prophet soon enough. I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen, but anyone with eyes to see, ears to hear, knows that this is a difficult time. And even if there's not persecution and insanity and food shortages and all the rest, we see people that are losing their minds every day. You know those people. They're losing their minds. They're just crazy with whatever it is. They lose their identity, they lose their minds, they get stuck in drugs, they get stuck in some sort of sexual dysfunction, families are torn apart, et cetera, et cetera. I know somebody that has to move out or get vaxxed from his family. Can you believe it? Love is growing cold. We see it all the time. So this is why Father Nicholas and I want to pray these prayers every single Saturday evening, because they're so they're spot on, shall we say. So let me just give you a few of them. Obviously, we're mentioning lots of the names of the saints throughout these prayers. And there's a reason for that. We are a family. Who's going to really have your back in this world? Anybody? You know that there are people that love you, but they have clay feet like you do. They could fall. Even somebody that you really know as being really reliable. Sometimes it's unknown how a person will perform when there's a real temptation. So let it be that none of us fall. But really, there's a big enough room of us here that some of us are going to fall, and we're going to need somebody to pick us up and hopefully one of us will do it. But we know that the saints will never let us down. They are part of our family, and they are, shall I say, our older brothers and sisters who have fought the good fight and finished the course. And so there's an intimacy where we are begging them to pray to God for us, because we don't feel enough confidence in our prayers. That's why we're doing it. And we're doing it because of the resurrection, because they're not dead. So it's really powerful for me when I mention all the names of these saints, because they're part of our family and they're protecting us. They're praying for us. They're as concerned about what's happening in our world as we are, except that they're doing something much more powerful than we do, because their prayer is much more effectual because they are righteous. I'll tell you something that I do at home is, in reading the Menaean, I write down in the front covers of the book the names of various saints that particularly appeal to me in a certain way. And I always have sort of a different slant on things than people usually do. It definitely made high school an interesting time for me. But now I don't really write down the names of like St. George and stuff like that. They're great saints. I'm more interested in people like St. Timothy of Espigmenum, those kinds of saints that had a fall or an apparent fall and then came back to Christ. Those people that looked apostate or were apostate, like St. James the Persian. He became an apostate, but then he came back to Christ. I'm interested in those sorts of people, and there's a lot of them in the Menaean, and so I invoke their names by using these prayers in the morning. Because we might fall. Each one of us might fall. But we can get up. We can get up if we have something inside us to help us get up. You know, Peter fell, didn't he? So did Judas. They both fell. One got up. One got up because there was something in his character. He had heard the words of Christ and they had come into his heart. Judas heard the words of Christ, but they weren't in his heart. So when he was really tempted, he could not repent. He could be sorry, but not repent. The Lord would have forgiven Judas if Judas had gone to the apostles and said, "Forgive me, I betrayed an innocent man." They might have had trouble forgiving him, but they would have got over it. By the time the resurrection occurred and the coming of the Holy Spirit, they would have restored him. But it didn't happen that way because he didn't have anything in his heart. So I pray to these saints that had these problems, and then they found their way back to God. So it begins, "Save, O God, thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Visit thy world with mercy and compassion. Exalt the horn of Orthodox Christians, and send down us thine abundant mercies." We need every single one of those things. And then we start mentioning all the saints, this long list of saints that goes on for several pages. And then we pray another prayer, where first we pray for the church. We pray for the, you know, our patriarch and our metropolitan and our Archbishop Peter, because that's proper to always pray for the church in all of the services. And then we say, and for our brotherhood in Christ, this is our church, or in the case of a monastery, the monastery brotherhood, and for every Christian that is afflicted and tormented, in need of the mercy and the help of God. I hope that when you hear this, that you feel some compunction and you pray ardently for all those that are afflicted and tormented. So many that are afflicted. They're either afflicted externally, such as what's happening in Kabul right now and all over Afghanistan, or they're afflicted by the passions in their hearts. Maybe they're homeless, maybe they're drug addicts, maybe they suffer from deep depression, maybe they're contemplating suicide. Maybe there's some great sin that they've committed and they can't forgive themselves for it. They've lost family because of it. I see a lot of people like that when I go to prison. The regret that people have because of what they formerly done is very hard to see sometimes. People that are afflicted and tormented. Do you pray for afflicted and tormented people? I hope you do. I really don't think we can be Christian if we don't. Sometimes I talk to people and say, you know, "Do you have a prayer list?" "Yeah." And they say, "Yes, I pray for my family and my relatives." That's it? You don't see anybody else that has needs? You should. And if you don't, look around. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. You'll see a lot of people with needs if you just keep looking around. We should pray for people that are afflicted and tormented. It's going to be a lot of afflicted and tormented people because of what's happening in our day. There's people that have, there's children that are going to have severe psychological problems because of the isolation of the pandemic that I don't know when it's going to go away. It doesn't appear that it's going to go away. There are rumors that interstate travel will be disallowed unless you're vaccinated, which means that if you're not vaccinated and your grandmother is in Louisiana, you risk going to prison or jail by going to visit her. So there's a lot of affliction in our world, and there will be more. And we should be open to the knowledge of this. And then we should pray for the people that are afflicted and tormented. And then we pray for the peace and welfare of the whole world, for the good estate of the holy churches of God, for the salvation and help of our fathers and brethren that labor with zeal and the fear of God, for them that are absent and abroad, for the health of them that are bedridden in infirmities, for the repose, refreshment, blessed memory, and remission of sins of all of our fathers and brethren that have departed before us, and the Orthodox here and everywhere laid to sleep, for the deliverance of the imprisoned, and for all of our brethren that are serving and that have served and have served in this holy temple. That's the second prayer. And then there are other prayers. We pray for the city, and we pray for so many other things. I want to bring your attention again, just we pray for the afflicted and tormented. Christians have a soft heart. Christians see things. You might not be able to materially help someone. You might not be able to counsel them in such a way that they get better. You might not be able to help them with their drug addiction or their great sadness or their deep depression or their great sense of loss because a loved one has died. You might not be able to help them with any of that. But your heart can feel their pain. And when your heart feels their pain, then you pray for them. Perhaps some of them you make a prostration for, or three, or ten. Or perhaps you just pray for them every day by saying, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon such and such. This is important. And that's why we're saying these prayers. Because we are aware, Father Nicholas and I, and we want you to be aware, Christianity is not just the stuff we do when we put on robes and scents and stuff like that. And when we know lives of the saints and when we know history and stuff like that. That's not Christianity. Christianity is what the heart does. The heart feels, and the heart then prays. And then whatever God tells the heart to do, if the body needs to do what the heart is told, then the body works as well. It must start with the heart. This is very critically important. So I hope you have a different attitude, or maybe a more intense attitude about these prayers as you hear them next week and the week after that and etc. They're very critically important. And I want you to cultivate in your life at home an intense prayer for everyone, not just your family, not just your relatives, not just, you know, close friends, but anybody that's afflicted and tormented. And the more that you mention by name, the better. Because that means your heart is opening up. And your heart, it can never get too big. Your heart can be big enough to contain God. That's what the psalm says. So learn to open up your heart by seeing the afflicted and tormented people. That's why we're saying these prayers. Because we must. We must be Christians and we must pray for people. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.
This was a homily from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKinney, Texas. Orthodox.net is our website. And the sermons are found at orthodox.net/sermons. And on YouTube, they are found at orthodox.net. God bless you. This is Priest Seraphim.